4. Beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye all are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this occasion that you've given us anew to come together on this Lord's Day. We thank you the life that we live is we don't live on a by faith like a jumping out and leaping into the dark, but that our faith is connected to what you have undertaken on our behalf. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who has come and lived a perfect life for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who paid for our sins on Calvary's cross. We thank you that the Lord Jesus has been buried and raised again after 3 days, according to the scriptures, testifying of the fact that all that he had undertaken on our behalf was accomplished. The price for our sin has been paid in full, and that because of that, we have hope. We thank you that we know the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, and we thank you that the Lord Jesus will come and return again. And we eagerly anticipate and look forward to that event. We ask it now, Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Great song, girls. Beulah Land, I am longing for you. I tell you what. That's where our citizenship lies, and I want you to know, Christians, our faith extends a whole lot further than just this life. We were singing a little while ago in that hymn, How Great Thou Art, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and dare proclaim, my God, how great thou art. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the Thessalonians in our journey through the First Thessalonian letter. He comes to this portion of Scripture where he's saying to the Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants us to be informed. And I believe that we as believers, we can say we are informed. We live because Christ lives for us. We live because of the very fact that we know that our Lord Jesus is going to come and return again. When we lose someone, as our sister Sherry had said goodbye to her sister a week ago today, that we sorrow, yes. We are sad because from our midst a loved one has been taken. But on the other hand, we are glad and we rejoice because we know that the Word of God tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so there is no question about that. And so Paul is saying to them, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Yes, we sorrow, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Our comfort, I want you to know, our comfort is found in none other than the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ and our union with him, his life, his substitutionary death, his paying the penalty for our sins on Calvary's cross, his burial, his resurrection. He rose from the dead, satisfying all the demands of God's holy law, and knowing that our redemption will be complete when we see him, the one who has purchased us with his own blood. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and all of the congregation said, amen. I want you to know that. And this we see here in this portion of Scripture. That's what we looked at this last week. And I just want us to mention that one more time. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I want you to know, we are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus. But there is an event that's going to take place. The Lord Jesus is come again, and he's not coming again this second time as he did the first time. The first time he came, born of a virgin, he was laid in a stall there in Bethlehem, and he there in humility, he grew up before. But I want you to know, when the Lord Jesus is coming, he is not coming in a quiet way. The portion of scriptures that we read here just a moment ago, that there we read in verse 16, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I tell you what, we can probably talk about some of the last thing, pre, post, or amillennialism. But there are some things that are plain here in this portion of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is not going into the pre and the post and the ah. He is simply saying this event is going to take place, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Think about that. What an event it's going to be. And I want you to know that we would live our lives in such a way that we would eagerly anticipating of the return of the Lord Jesus. Let me read you a quote from the preacher's complete homiletic commentary. Here's what it says. The second advent of Christ, among the words of consolation in the valedictorian discourse of Christ. Boy, this is some deep language. The discourse of the Lord Jesus before he entered up and on Calvary's cross and he ascended to heaven. What is it that he told his disciples? He's saying to them, remember in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye that believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go prepare a place for you. Let me go back to this quotation here. He would come again and receive them unto himself. Time has sped noisily along. Events of vast magnitude have rapidly succeeded each other and left their lessons for the ages to ponder. Nations have passed through the throes of suffering and revolution. Generation after generation has gone down to the grave for nearly, and shows you how old this commentary is, for 1900 years. The church has been strained with profound, intense, and anxious expectancy, but still the promise remains unfulfilled. Will he come? Are the hopes of the church doomed to be forever unsatisfied? Must the body of the pious dead be forever shut down in the grave of the land and sea? And the answer of that is no, absolutely not. He will come. 2,000 years have passed by, and no doubt there are some that have said, and even as Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3, where in the last days scoffers would come and walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There are those that would say, and they watch the Christians and their hope, that every time there is a memorial service, every time there is a memorial service inside of a church building, and every time there is a memorial, a graveside service underneath the tent, the world is watching, and they're watching, as the pastor says, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we quote and we recite all of the passages of scriptures. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye that believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go prepare a place for you. And for 2,000 years this message has gone, and people are saying, where is his coming? I got news for you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, for with the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day. You see, our clock is our time. As we look at our time, we look at our clock back there. Time goes by, and we count our years. And yet at the same time, when we think about God's time clock and God's time, that the promises of the Lord, he has said that he will come again. We find that in the scriptures throughout. You remember when the Lord Jesus ascended in the book of Acts. And there in Acts chapter 1 we read, and while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. It was just a little bit before that. And when they were therefore gathered, come together, to ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father had put in his power. And then he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, a cloud received him out of their sight. And then there these two men stood there in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The word has always been to the early believers, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come again. Now, I don't know about you, but when we think about death and dying, we're thinking about generations coming and going, I want us to say, and of course, as we talked about this morning with that wonderful portion of scripture that Deanie recited from Isaiah 52, verse 7, and that passage in Romans chapters 10, where it says, and for that how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. To think about that, for the last 2,000 years, what has the church done? The church has been very faithful in opening and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The Lord has equipped his church with the spirit of evangelism, the preaching the good news. And what is the good news? That our God reigneth, that our God is the Savior of sinners. And then you see the Lord has added to the church, and from the time of the beginning, daily such as should be saved in the last 2,000 years. And we have said to people to look and to look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus and he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And then he says, and looking for that blessed hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, part of our occupation is to occupy until the Lord comes. What do you think? And boy, sometimes occupation and occupying gets very difficult, doesn't it? Sometimes that we sing that song, trials dark on every hand, and things we cannot understand, how our blessed Lord will lead us to that precious promised land, and then we'll say, we'll understand it better by and by. But in all of that, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're down in the valley, that I believe that God's people and I want to simply say here and remind each and every one of us that we would live our lives, whether you're 76 or whether you are 16 or whether you are 5 or 6, and regardless of what age you are, that, Lord, will you teach us to live our lives in such a way that we would have our eyes fixed up on your return and your imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this morning of a portion of scripture that really goes hand in hand with that, and that's found in Colossians chapters 3, verse 1, and there we read, if then be risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ. What a powerful statement for a believer. A believer is one who has been risen with Christ. And then he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. In other words, that as the Lord Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, wherever your treasure is, wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And that ask God's people that we would live our lives in such a way that we can say that our citizenship and our final destination, we know, is in heaven. In the meantime, we're going to occupy, and we're going to occupy in such a way, even as we read in this portion of Scripture, how we are anticipating his coming, but in all of that, that we would watch and be sober and live the kind of life in order for the anticipation of the Lord Jesus to return. And that we want him to return, or we want to be ready in a way that whatever we do is that when he comes, that he would find us so doing that is pleasing in his sight. And so that passage of scripture there in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When the Lord Jesus will come and call us to himself, even as he has in this portion of scripture, after if we have gone to sleep in Christ, the graves are opened, and that those are caught up together, and we which are alive, if we're alive, and so shall we ever be with him in the air. But can you imagine that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? When you think about it, what it is for us as Christians to see the Savior who gave himself for us. How can we illustrate that? I'm not really sure if there's an illustration to be had with that. I think one of the illustrations that we may be able to use, I'm sure it falls way short of that description of the Lord Jesus when he comes and we'll see him. That glorious appearing is when is at a wedding. People pack in and they're getting ready. We got the candles, we've got all of the decorations, and we got everything that's prepared for. And that moment when the bride comes in her white gown, and with the veil over her face, and father brings her in, and they're walking slowly down toward the front, and everybody gets on their feet, and everybody looks up, and they all have smiles on their faces, and they're so happy and so thrilled for the occasion. And the beauty of the bride that is displayed, that glorious appearing. But when I think about it, when I think about the Lord Jesus and his appearing to us, that is, there is going to be the revelation of the bride, his bride, the glorious bride that he has redeemed with his own blood, without blemish and without spot, arrayed in his righteousness, in his garment. What that's going to be for us when we see him, and that is going to happen, and that's going to take place. And that has always been part of the Christian church. And that we ought to live our lives in such a way that we remember that everything that we build, I don't care what it is, that everything that we build and everything that we gather up, it's all going to be subject to rust and moth and decay, where thieves break in and all of those things. But everything, when it's all said and done, one of these days, all of our treasures. And boy, we've got some, haven't we? We've got stuff in our safes. We have stuff in our safety deposit boxes. We have heirlooms and all kinds of things that are valuable to us. But one of these days, I want you to know, all of these things are going to be nothing when we are in the presence of our Lord. I made reference to the fact of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I've already read that. Let me read it one more time. The attitude of the world is, it's always going to be that way. They do not live their lives with a view and a vision of God in mind. The scoffers, those are the ones that are belittling the believer and the Christian, because wherever we are, our testimony is this: that this is not all there is. The best is yet to come. Redemption is right around the corner. We're going to be in a place where righteousness dwelleth. We're going to be in a place where there is not going to be no need for a sun. There's not going to be no need for a moon. There won't be any stars. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's in the midst of his people, and he's the one that will reign and rule, and there's not going to be any more sin. There won't be any more sickness, no more sorrow. Hey, Betty, we won't have any need for eyeglasses. I won't have any need for any a pain medication that I need to take every few hours. All of that's got to be a thing in the past. As we read last week, who will change our vile bodies and fashion it into the glorious body that he has and he will give us. And so in this passage of scripture in that Peter that I made reference to, where they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as it were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water in water, and whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to of his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, oftentimes, I tell you what we do, we get caught up. I know people get caught up in the, if we were to say we're going to have a conference on a last day prophecy, I know that used to be really big when I first became a Christian. They would put on 3-4 days of revival meetings and last day prophecies. You would pack a building of people that they wanted to interest. They were interested in tell me when and tell me what. Tell me what has not yet taken place, and what needs to be done, and give me some of the prophecies of that are in the scriptures that would point to the fact of that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning and returning imminently. And I know that there are lots of things that we study, and there are things in the scriptures that we want to say, here are things that are falling into place. But I believe that one thing is plain and sure that we ought to be concretely standing on a sure foundation is this: Christ could come and return today. We can't just simply say, well, there are certain things that haven't taken place yet. Jude writes in Jude verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints. He will come. The concluding remarks in the book of Revelation, we read, Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. In that same chapter, verse 12, we read, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In verse 17, we read, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then in verse 20 and 21 we read, And he which testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. And even so, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That we would say, O Lord Jesus, even so come quickly. The Lord Jesus will come again. Question that I have for us is this. Do we believe that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout? What do you think? That's going to be the most glorious, that's going to be the most glorious shout that we have ever heard. Do we believe that it's with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God? Do we believe that's going to happen? Are we ready and prepared for that? And we are ready and prepared for that. And that we would say, I need to flee. I need to flee to Christ and embrace him. That he is my Lord and my Savior, because of the very fact that even as we read, that when he comes again, I want you to know that one of these days, all mankind, we all will appear before the all-seeing I've got, every one of us, saved and lost alike. And how can we stand and appear before the all-seeing eye of God? How can we? Well, the only way that we can is by faith we embrace the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to be dressed. We're going to have outfits on that are dressed for the occasion. We're going to be dressed in the righteousness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time that I want us to say, we need to be prepared for that. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he goes on, and I want to just make reference of it, in chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief that comes in the night. The same language that Peter uses. And I want to just simply say that a thief in the night is not somebody that we expect, is it? And then we want to say that, and he gives us a little bit more insight. We don't know exactly when the time, the season is, but he says, For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who is going to say peace and safety? Well, the world, the unbeliever, they're going to say peace and safety. I'm not really sure whether we are there yet in our day. When I think about all that's going on around us, the unrest and all everything that's going on around us, but there is going to come a time when they're going to say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh on them as travailing upon a woman with child. I remember Heidi, today is Heidi's birthday. We were hoping, and we were talking about it, when Frankie was carrying her 46 years ago, I think that's right, 46 years ago, we were walking around to Sand Springs Park. They used to have firecrackers there on 4th of July. And we were talking about that if we walk enough miles up and down, and we walk around, that she's going to have a firecracker baby. But she didn't come on the 4th. I want you to know she came on the 5th, and I remember when the labor pains, and I don't know anything about it, I didn't go through that, but you ladies that have had children, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that you really don't know, but when the labor pains start, you say, grab my bag. You know, you've already prepared for it. You had a little bag and all of this stuff in it for you to go to the hospital. And like a woman with child and with the travail of going through the labor pains, there was absolutely no way of stopping it. There it is. We're going right now, and let's go. And How many men, of course, we hear occasionally, how many husbands have taken their wives and to the hospital, never made it, and ended up on the side of the road, maybe with a first responder helping and bringing that baby into the world. And so it's going to be when the Lord Jesus will come and he will return. And he tells us in this portion of Scripture, brethren, you're not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, we are God's people. Every day we are looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. And we're not going to be overtaken in a surprise of what is he doing? Why is he coming now? Then he says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I know oftentimes you ladies get ready for company. You say, we're going to have so-and-so over to the house. And company's coming in from out of state. And you're cleaning from morning to night, and you're getting all of this stuff ready. And when you have it all ready, then you start looking. I think they said they're going to be here around midday. And so you start looking around 11 o'clock. You're going to start looking at noon. You're going to start looking at 1 o'clock, and you're going to just look for, because you're anticipating coming. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be eagerly not asleep as others do, but to be watch and to be sober. And then he says in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God, you see, when he returns, he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. What do we do with that? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the walk of faith at times gets very, very difficult. We come to the place where the Lord takes a spouse away from us after being married many, many years. And you come to the place of sorrow and loss of a loved one. You're faced with death, yet at the same time, the Lord uses the language of sleep, and he's saying to us, you sorrow, but you don't sorrow as others who have no hope, because we are believing the Lord Jesus. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is just a matter of moments before he calls us to himself, or when he comes, when he descends and he comes with a shout, with a voice, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, we know that. And so for as we live our lives, that these things that we've read, doesn't that give us a great deal of comfort? And that we can really say that when this life is done, that we can say it is for this end that he has redeemed us. He has delivered us from our sins. He has exalted us into a place of a child. He has given us a body without any sin. And he's placed us in the kingdom where righteousness dwelleth. I want to ask you, are you prepared for the returning of the Lord? The only way that you can be prepared, you've got to be joined in Christ. Are you in the Lord Jesus? Is the Lord Jesus your hope? Is the Lord Jesus your anchor and your rock and your solid foundation? If it's not, I want you to know, the appearing of the Lord that will come in glory that if you are not in him, what a frightful thought that will be, to be judged by him and to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine the fact of being ever, forever separated from fellowship with God in a place where the worm doesn't die, where the fire is not quenched, where there's going to be eternal misery without end? Can you imagine that? I'm saying to you this morning, how beautiful are the mountains and the feet of them that bring good tidings and peace and joy. That the Lord is the Lord Savior, that he has come, that we might have life, and that we would have life in him. Are you joined to the Lord Jesus by faith? If that's the case, I want you to know when the trump will sound and the shout and the voice of the archangel, that's going to be the most glorious thing that we would ever hear in all of our lives. And then when we see him, it's going to be the most glorious vision that we'll ever have before our eyes, to say, here is our Lord who gave himself for us. Our Father in heaven, we come this morning. We bless and we praise you. We thank you for these truths that you've given us in your word, and that we don't live our lives like events that are taking place on the Russian roulette, some kind of a luck and chance of thing that would happen here or this that we don't know about. But, oh, Heavenly Father, that our hope is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. For we believe that he died, and he rose from the dead, and we believe that we are joined to him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for all that are here this morning. Draw them with bands of love to yourself, and show us all, young and old alike, you will return. You will come again. May we be prepared in him by faith. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you'll turn and turn, would you stand and turn to page 289, please?